Today's daf is Nun Zayin. We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Bet. We ended yesterday with this Tana de Bei Menashe. We're going to see a few. This Tana de Bei Menashe is going to appear a few times with different shitot. Okay, so just to review, we have the seven mitot beitin according to. I'm sorry, the seven mitzvot b'nei noach according to the basic Tanakama, and this is the basic opinion. There's dinim. Okay, we'll put it on. Didn't have a chance to make a chart. Oh, I forgot. Today's shiur is the Fuash Lema of Shlomo Zalman ben Esther Leah. Okay, we have dinim, Birkat Hashem, our cursing God, Gilor Avodah Zarah, Gilor Arayot, Shvichut Damim, okay, I'm using Rosh Tevot, Gezel, Eber Menachai. Okay, those are the seven. But now we're going to see that the Tana de Bei Menashe has a different one, okay? Where he switches the Dach with Sach, right? That's what it is, yeah. Dach with Sach. He switches Dinim, okay? He doesn't have Dinim, and he doesn't have Birkat Hashem. Okay, so now we're going to see the Tana de Bei Menashe, Sheva Mitzvot Nitzvu B'nei Noach. So according to the Tana de Bei Menashe, we're going to have, this is our Tana, just the regular Tana, we're going to have Avodah Zarah. Okay, so he starts after the first two. Okay, so he has Avodah Zarah, Gilor Arayot, Shvichut Damim, Gezel, Eber Menachai. And then he's going to have Sirus and Kilai. Okay, that's the seven that he's got. For Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now we're going to have a bunch of different opinions. Okay, we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, according to him, interesting, there's no Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Arishon lo nistava ela al avodah zarah bilvad. Shenehemar, and he learns it from the same pasuk that the first Tana darshin vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam. Remember, in Darshan, each part of that word was, each part of that sentence was a reference to a different thing. He says, no, vayitzav Hashem Elohim al Adam. How does he read it? Vayitzav Hashem Elohim al Adam. He was mitzaveh God. Meaning, that's what it's all about. According to him, it's just Avodah Zarah. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Omer, Af al Birkat Hashem. So now we're going to have a few different opinions. I don't really have room on the board, but the next opinion is going to say Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera is Avodah Zarah, and he adds an additional one, which is also Birkat Hashem. Okay? So he brings back the Birkat Hashem. And B'yesh Omrim, Af al Hadinim. And B'yesh Omrim adds the Dinim, and the Birkat Hashem, and Avodah Zarah. Okay?
But what is Yesh Omrim?
Yesh Omrim is, there's another opinion, we don't know who says it. That's what it means.
Somebody that thinks that
that's Rabbi a different Yehuda opinion. Said, No. His own opinion. So we have Rabbi Yehuda, we have Rabbi Yehuda by Batera, and then we have a Yesh Omrim. So we now have five different opinions. What's interesting, obviously, about them, and this is why I wanted to chart on the page, but at least those who are here can see on the board, that the Dinim and Birkat Hashem are eliminated by the Tana de Bei Menashe and eliminated by Rabbi Yehuda, but the other opinions who doubt it, there's agreement by some about the Avodah Zarah, Gilor Arayot, Shvichut Damim, Gezel, Eber Menachai. Okay, first of all, everyone agrees Avodah Zarah. That's the only one that's agreed by everybody is Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's why this chart is interesting, right? Everyone agrees Avodah Zarah. This just means that they include it, right? So now, everyone agrees about Avodah Zarah and about everything else that's debatable. You follow that? Okay, so basically we have those who think Dinim and Birkat Hashem are very important to have to be in there, and those who think that's not part of it, and it doesn't have to be in. Okay, so we have all variations about what these things, you know, what is included, what's not. So now they're going to talk about the Yesh Omrim for a minute. They're going to say, Keman az lahada amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Elohim ani, lo tekaleluni, Elohim ani, lo temiruni, Elohim ani, yehem uri alechem. Okay, what does this mean? I am God, don't curse me. I am God, don't exchange me for another God. And I am God, you should be fearful of me. So what do they say? Keman ki yesh omrim. That goes by the yesh omrim. Be fearful of me and therefore set up a court system. Okay, that's a little loose. But don't switch me for another God, that's Avodah Zarah. And don't curse me is Birkat Hashem. So that line of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav goes like the yesh omrim. Keman ki yesh omrim. Tana de Bei Menashe. Now we're going to go back to the Tana de Bei Menashe, who had got rid of Dinim and Birkat Hashem and added Sirus and Kelaim. And if you recall, yesterday we darshan this pasuk by Yitzav Hashem Elohim. Each thing in that pasuk referred to one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So now the question is, Tana de Bei Menashe, Darish Vayitzav Afilu Hanachnami. If he's going to darsh in that pasuk of Vayitzav and from there learn the Shavu Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And what's interesting is, right, he agrees with five of them. So if he agrees with five of them, well, where does he get those five? Because if he gets them from the pasuk of Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, well, then he should get the others also. So, you know, the Dinim and Berkat Hashem. So if he darish Vayitzav Afilu Hanachnami, he should learn all of them. Ilo darish Vayitzav, if he doesn't darsh in that pasuk, well, then Hanach Menale. Right, then where does he get all of the other, right? Where is he going to learn all of these from? La'olam lo darsh v'yitzav. So the answer is he actually doesn't darsh on the pasuk of v'yitzav. Hane kol chada v'chada ba'apei nafshe k'tiva. Okay, now we're going to have to darsh, right? It was easy when we have one pasuk that had all shavu mitzvot b'nei noach in them. But according to him, since he can't darsh on that pasuk, otherwise he concludes that you also need dinim and berkat Hashem. Therefore, he has to learn each one independently from some other place in the Torah. So where is he going to learn it? Avodah zarah v'giloreyot tichtiv batishachet ha'aretz lefnei ha'elokim. Okay, right? In the Mabul, what happens, right? V'timalei ha'aretz chamas. So the word batishachet, the world was, you know, the land was destroyed before God. V'tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, and in the house of Rabbi Yishmael, they had a braita. V'chol makom sh'ne'amar hashchata eino ela dvar ervav avodah kochavim. So now we're saying, because they got punished for these things, right? It was, the world was tishachet. What is hashchata? Hashchata is a reference to Gilui Arayot and Avodah Zarah. How so? Dvar erva shenemar ki hishchit ko basar et darko. Okay, that's, they say darko. Darko is usually a euphemism for sexual relations. So therefore they assume, when it says there in the context of the Mabul, hishchit ko basar et darko, darko means through sexual promiscuity. Avodat kochavim dechtiv pen tashchitun vasitem. Right, that's the pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Dalei, pen tashchitun, you have to read the rest of the pasuk. Vasitem lachem pesel tmunat kol semel tavnit zachar unikeva. So there you see vatishachet in the context of Avodah Zarah. So therefore we have the fact that Dor Mabul, again, Dor Mabul was, right, that was basically everybody, the whole world, it's related to the B'nai Noach. Obviously, it was before B'nai Noach, but anyone before Noach is also going to be considered everybody. And they got punished because of Gilorei Yod and Avodah Zarah, according to these drashot, according to the drashah on the word Tishachet. And that's where we learn that they're chayev on, that those two are part of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. V'idach, what about the other approach that doesn't say, right, that says the Tana, the first Tana, that says we learn this all from Vayitzav, why doesn't he learn it out from that pasuk? Or Chayu de Kamagale, it's just telling us what they did. It's not telling us that they were commanded not to do this. It was just saying they were bad people and this happens to be what they did. But not necessarily that all B'nai Noach are Chayav on that. Every time we're going to bring a pasuk, we're going to have to say, why didn't the other person say this? So this is, now again, the other person, right, the Tana doesn't disagree that Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayot or Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. It's just that he learns it from Vayitzav. Why didn't he learn it from here? Shvichut Amin, Dechtiv, Shofech Dam HaAdam, right, this is in Breshit Tet, Shofech Dam HaAdam Ba'Adam Damo Yishafech, Ki B'Tzalem Elohim Asat HaAdam. Right, anyone who spills blood will be killed. So that seems pretty clear, right? That's your basic azara for not only that, it's your onesh, right? If you shafech tamadan, damo yishafech. V'idach, so what does he say? Katlayuhu de kamigale. He's just explaining here what mitayu, that the fact that you get killed, but it's not telling you that it's usher to do it, okay? I think I'm explaining that line correctly. Let's double check that. So now we're going to say, right? Right. He's just saying what mitah do you get, but it's not saying that you can't do it. Right? Remember, this is similar, although we're going to see later that there's an opinion that said that you don't really need an azhara and a punishment. But this sort of seems to say this is the punishment, but where is it said that you can't do it? Right? The azhara, like we saw with the arayot, there's the azharot and there's the punishments. Gezel. What about Gezel? Dichtiv. Okay, this is in the context of when Noach is told he's allowed to eat meat. Okay, which Adam wasn't allowed to eat meat, and now Noach is told he's allowed to eat meat. What does it say? Ki yerek esev natati lachem et kol. Okay, the pasuk is, let's read the whole pasuk. Kol remes asher hu chai lachem yeloch la ki yerek esev natati lachem et kol. So what are they darshan here? Amar Rabbi Levi, ki yerek esev velo ki yerek yina. Right? He's saying you're allowed to eat all the yerakim of the esev, but not the yerakot of the gina. The gina is something that belongs to someone privately, and the esev is something that's public. So you can eat anything that's out there that's hefker, but you can't eat anything that belongs to someone. Okay, it's maybe a bit of a weaker link. V'idach, what does he say? Hahu l'mishrei basar hu da'ata. The whole context there is just trying to say that I gave you all that to eat before, now, though, you can eat meat. It's not saying what's not allowed about Yerek Esev versus Yerek Gina. It's saying Yerek Esev was what you were originally allowed to eat, and now you can eat basar. And therefore, the focus is on the basar, and the focus isn't all on the Yerek Esev in terms of that we can learn from there what is forbidden in terms of stealing. Eiver menachai, dechtiv, ach basar benachsho, damo lo tochelu. Okay, now how do they explain this? Af basar b'nafsho, which is damo lo tochelu, meaning you can't just rip a bone off a body of an animal. V'idach, what about the other opinion? Hahu l'mishrei shratzim hu da'ata. This is interesting. Right, anyone who's ever been to the Far East and sees people eating bugs. Okay, this is saying that it's not forbidden to eat bugs for b'nei noach. Because what's the difference between bugs and animals? Bugs, you can eat an Eiver Menachai, you can take off a part of it because the animal's not going to bleed. Okay, so therefore there's no issue there. We're supposed to animals, if you just pull off, right, the animals don't, both shratzim don't bleed. There's no blood running through their body that's going to come out when you pull off a limb. I don't know if that's exactly true, but I don't know enough about bugs. But anyway, that's what they say.
Do bugs regenerate their limbs?
I don't know enough about bugs. Okay. Sirus, right? That's the one that the other opinion didn't have at all. Dichtiv shirtzu ba'aretz urevuba, right? It says your job is to multiply, so therefore you can't castrate someone. V'idach libracha ba'alma. The other opinion says no. That's just it's a blessing. You should be able to reproduce. God is blessing them. You should reproduce and fill the land, but not that you have to, in the sense that sirus is going to be usher to b'nei Noah. Kilayim dichtiv meha'of leminehu. They're basically saying, why did Noach bring in, this is a good question, why did he bring in two from every animal? Right? The reason is because they weren't allowed to crossbreed. Okay? And that's why he brought in two from every animal, so each animal could breed within his type. So now they're going to say, no, what's the other guy going to say about it? V'idach, that's a great answer. Ha'ul etzavta ba'alma. It was just so that, you know, they had friends. They wanted them each to have a partner, but not necessarily that it was so that nobody would crossbreed, so that the animals wouldn't crossbreed. Okay, so there we have the seven drashot of Tana de Menashe, how he gets each one, right, where he learns the five that he agrees with the other opinion about. He learns them from different places all over the Torah, although most of them are from Noach, basically, you know, the time of Noach, and the Seirus and Kilayim, which are additional. Okay, continuing. Amar Rav Yosef, Amrei Bei Rav, al shalosh mitzvot ben Noach neherag. Now there's a big debate about whether B'nai Noach are killed for all the Sheva mitzvot B'nai Noach, or do they only get the death penalty, right, assuming that you hold their seven, as opposed to those who hold there's one, two, or three. Okay, but assuming you hold their seven, do you get killed for all seven, or only for some of them? Right, which are the obvious one you wouldn't get killed for? What? No, which ones wouldn't you get killed for? So which one? Dinim, right? You could say you're not going to get killed if you don't set up courts. Eiver Menachai and Gezel, right? Those are the who would get killed over Gezel, okay? But you could see Berkat Hashem Avodah Zarah Gilorei Shfichut Damim, those are more likely. Okay, and as Aviva said, this is going to lead into, right, we're not going to get to it yet, but we will get to it later in this Masechet, about the Yehareg Va'al Yavor Mitzvot, the three, the category of the three, which is Avodah Zarah Gilorei Shfichut Damim, where if someone puts a gun to your head and says, do it or else I kill you, generally you're allowed to get killed. But for those three, generally you don't get yourself killed, right? You can do the avera in order to save your life, but these three are yehareg val yavor. You're supposed to die and not get and not kill and not do those three things. We'll get to that much more in depth later. Okay. So what does he say? Which shalosh mitzvot? Gesher siman al gilui arayot val shvichut amim va al berkat Hashem. Okay, so Daffy doesn't say the three you would have thought. Giloria Chvichut Amim and Avodah Zara. He says Birkat Hashem. Matkifla Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, wait a minute. Bishlama Shvichut Amim. Shvichut Amim I get, because it says, Shofech Dama Adam, Tamo Yishafech. It's very obvious. Ela Hanach Minale. But the other two, where do you get it from? Igamar Mishvichut Amim, Afilu Kulenami. If you're going to say, we learn it all out from Shvichut Amim, so then you should learn all Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. If you're going to say, they're all parallel to it, so then why would you only make some parallel and not those? E mishum dit rabe mi ish ish. If you're going to say there's psukim by these instances, by Giloreo and by Berkat Hashem, where it says ish ish, okay, the ish ish by Berkat Hashem we saw yesterday, ish ish ki kalel elohav, I think is the words, right? Ish ish ki kalel elohav, I think. Anyway, I don't see it, but we saw it yesterday. Ish ish, it says there. No, that's not the ish ish. Right. It's where's the sheet from yesterday? We've got the psukim here. Right, that's it. Okay. So now they say if you're going to learn it from there, and there's one by Giloria, which we're going to see in a little bit. Okay, so if you're going to learn it from there, there's a problem because. Here, Mishum and Rabbi Ish Ish. Avodah Kochavim Nami Yit Rabbim Ish Ish. There's also Pashuk of Ish Ish by Avodah Kochavim. So therefore, you should basically be learning Berkat Hashem Avodah Zarah Gilorei of Shvichut Amim. And, like Aviva said, you know, that's one of the top three. It should be in there. If we get killed, if it's Yareg Val Yavor for us, it would make sense that Avodah Zarah would be in there. So El Amar of Sheshet Amar Beirav Al Arba Mitzvot Be'Noach Neharag. Okay, so Rav Sheshet comes and says in the house of Rav, they dafka said it was four. Okay, now either this is correcting Rav Yosef or just saying Rav Yosef, it's problematic, therefore you have to say four. Okay? So they say it's four, meaning those four. Berkat Hashem, Avodah Zarah, Giloreo, Shvichut Amim, exactly the three that you all left out. It said, makes sense that those three wouldn't be included. So now we're going to question. Avodah Kochavim Ben Noach Neherag V'hatanya Avodah Kochavim Dvarim Shebetin Shel Yisrael Mimitin Alehem Benoach Muzhar Alehem. It says, when it comes to Avodah Kochavim, things that a Beitin of Yisrael are Mimitin Alehem, when the Beitin says that Yisrael should be killed, on those things, a Benoach Muzhar Alehem. A Benoach is warned about those things. Now, what does it sound like it's saying? Benoach is warned, meaning it's forbidden for him to do, but he doesn't necessarily get the death penalty. The interesting about the Sugya in general is that we generally think if something's usher, so you get a punishment. But we see here that there's an in-between. There's times where something is forbidden. We're going to see it a few times today. Something might be forbidden, but it doesn't necessarily mean you get a punishment for it, which is an interesting concept, because in Judaism, we always think, you do something wrong, you get a punishment. This very direct link, even though, obviously, the link is not so direct. But that's something we're brought up on, right? That there's reward and punishment. And here, we're going to see that there's this whole fluid category of sometimes you might be warned, don't do something, but it doesn't necessarily mean you get punished for it. So therefore, they understand the source right now is saying, on the things that a Yisrael will get killed for, a Benoach is just warned about. Right? Just warned, it would mean. So, Azhara'in, mitalo. But Amar Avnachum Bar Yitzchak, no. Azhara shalahen zohi mitatan. He says, and this connects with what we saw, Ein Nisharim, Ein Mimitin Elam Ken. Mazirim, that we saw before, Ein Ne Nashim. You don't get a punishment unless there was an Azhara. When it comes to Ben Noach, according to this, you don't need a separate Azhara. It's enough to just have an Azhara, and that's enough to know you get killed. So therefore, they read this source differently than we read it originally. It doesn't mean they're only warned. It means no. They're also warned about them. And if they're warned, that means they get killed. Okay, so therefore, we can't disprove. We tried to disprove Avodah Kochavim, maybe they don't get killed, but no, in fact, you can read that source as they do. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda b'kulu talmidei de Rav Amre. Okay, so now whenever we say kulu, right, we want to say everybody, all the students of Rav disagree with this approach. Al sheva mitzvot be'noach neherag. Okay, they think that Benoach gets killed on all sheva mitzvot, which is quite harsh. Galei rachmana b'chada v'hu adin l'kulu, right? So the Torah revealed it by one. Which one? Shofech dam ha'adam b'damo yishafech. And therefore, we learn from there to all of them. So now the Gemara is going to ask on the most difficult one. V'ala gezel benof neherag. I don't know if that's the most difficult, but maybe. But anyway, they say, what, al gezel, he's killed? And why do we think he doesn't get killed? Because it says, v'hatanya, v'ala gezel, ganav v'gazal, v'chein yifat toar. Okay, on theft, okay, whether it's gezela or geneva, right? One is secretly, one is to somebody's face. V'chein, right, gezela is to somebody's face, like armed robbery or even not armed robbery, but just stealing from someone, and, right? Ganav is to come into his house at night or when he doesn't see you, when he's not there. V'chein yifat toar, and if he steals someone in war, right, which in Judaism there's a way to do that properly, but according to this, a ben noach is muzhar aleh. We're going to see that there's all sorts of differences. I'll try to summarize them at the end of class. Tried to make a list while I was preparing of all these differences between a ben noach and Israel, where their din is more harsh than ours. Okay? So, v'chein yifat toar, v'chein kayotze bahen. Okay, and things that are like gezel, geneva, and yifat toar. The Gemara is going to say, what are these things afterwards? They're going to say, what's like gezel? What's like yifat toar? Okay, what's similar about all these things? Kuti bikuti, vikuti biYisrael asur. If a non-Jew does, they use kuti as a term just for a non-Jew here. If a kuti does it to a kuti, or a kuti does it to Israel, it's asur. Now, here's why we brought this as a problem. Because if it says asur, and it doesn't say neherag, asur just means it's forbidden, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you get killed for it. That's going to be where the Gemara is going with this. But Yisrael bekuti mutar. But here's one difference. If a Yisrael does any of these things to a kuti, it's allowed. Like, for example, a yifat toar. You're allowed to take a eshet yifat toar in war. That's allowed according to the Torah. A Jew can take a non-Jewish woman from, again, there's details about how they have to do it properly, but they can sort of steal from the war. And they can also, now this is a question, what does it mean mutar? Okay, Yisrael bekuti mutar can steal from a kuti. It's a very difficult moral... Right? How can, from an ethical perspective, the Torah say that a Jew is allowed to steal from a non-Jew? It's mutar, right? It doesn't even say, right? It says mutar. It doesn't even say you don't get punished. It says mutar. So the Meiri has, we've seen the Meiri before in this context, and here he particularly says it again, which is that he says when it talks about a kuti here, what it means is an oved avodah kochavim, it means the pagans that lived in those times that had no ethical or moral standard, and they persecuted the Jews, and because of that, it was allowed to steal from them, but that a regular, you know, he's talking in his society in Christian, Middle Ages, he said, you know, that's not allowed. You know, you can't do that to the people living now. What they were talking about, he basically pushes aside the whole issue and said, that was a different world, that was a different kind of people. The regular non-Jews, this isn't relevant to, and yes, you'd be chayav if you stole from a non-Jew. That's always the opinion that sits with us much better. However, in order to get there, he has to basically neutralize a ton of sources that talk about Akum. I mean, again, as long as it says Akum is Ovei Kochavim U'Mazalot, right here it uses Kuti, but it's a term that is interchangeable with Akum in this context, and it means just those who worship pagans and not regular non-Jews. Okay. V'imita, so again, imita nitne chayav. If they were supposed to get killed for it, it should have said they're chayav. So now the Gemara says, no. It doesn't use the lashon of asur mutar to say asur, but you're not chayav. No, asur means chayav. Why did it use asur instead of chayav? Mishum dekabai lemitne seifa Yisrael bekuti mutar. Because they wanted to tell us that the Yisrael bekuti is mutar. If you just said chayav or patur, you would have thought maybe the Jew is patur, but he shouldn't do it. Like in Shabbat, patur aval asur. Remember, there's all these things. You don't get the death penalty, but it's asur min rabbanan. So you might have thought that. By the way, there's all sorts of Rishonim, we talk also about even if it's mutar, it's asur mishum chilul Hashem, to steal from non-Jews. There's all sorts of other issues that come up there. So therefore, it said asur. So now it says, wait a minute, that's not a good proof, because hakol hecha di'i lechiyuva mitne katane. Whenever it says that you're chayav, you know, there's another source that looks exactly the same as this, but it doesn't use asur mutar, it uses chayav and patur, which means that chayav and patur is really chayav and patur. And if it says asur mutar, it doesn't mean chayav. And here's their source, dekatane resha. Again, we're going to see differences between a kuti and Israel. Al shvichut amim, kuti b'kuti, b'kuti b'Israel chayav. Okay, you're going to be chayav if you kill. A kuti kills a kuti, or a kuti kills the Israelis, chayav. Yisrael bakuti patur. But Yisrael bakuti is going to be patur. If Yisrael kills a kuti, he's patur. Okay? So, it sounds like he's patur. Now again, this sounds like you can't do it, but you're patur. Hatam hechi litni. So now they say, well, it's not that specifically there used asura mutar, and there used chayav and patur, and therefore when it said asura, it didn't mean chayav. Each one had a unique reason why it used chayav and patur or asura mutar. In our case, they wanted to use asura mutar, the first case, to say that it's mutar for a Jew to steal from a non-Jew. But when it comes to the kuti patur, hatam echi litne, litne asura mutar, they couldn't say asura mutar because it's not mutar to kill a kuti. How do we know it's not mutar to kill a kuti? And again, this is a situation where it's forbidden to do it, however you don't get the death penalty for doing it. V'hatanya, how do we know that it's asur to do? Kuti v'ro'e behemadaka, the ro'e behemadaka is considered like a low life of society. Lo ma'alim v'lo moridim. That means if he falls into a pit, you don't have to pick him up from the pit. You don't have to save him, right? Lo tamor al dam re'echa, which we're going to also get to in this masechet, saving your friend. You don't have to do it when it comes to a kuti and a ro'e behemadaka. But lo moridim, but you're not allowed to push him into the pit. Okay, so therefore, what does it say? You're not allowed to kill him. So it's obvious you can't kill him. Okay, so therefore, we say in the end that the asur really could mean chayav, and it's not a problem. Kayotze bo begezel mahi. What is it when it said, I told you we're going to get back to this term, what does it mean kayotze behen? Things that are like this. Amrabach abayakov lo nitzruhu ela lepoel bekerem. What is a poel bekerem? You hire a worker to work in your vineyard. If he eats from your fruits, so that's like stealing, right? We have to find something that's not exactly stealing, but it's like stealing. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean, poel bekerem emat? At what time a poel bekerem? What time of the what season? E b'shakamar melacha. If it's once the fruits are ripe, heterahu. It's mutar for. If you remember, we learned this. You're allowed if you're a worker to eat the fruits while you're working. E la b'shakamar melacha gezamal yehu. And if it's not shakamar melacha, where it's mutar for him, well then he's actually stealing. So that's stealing. That's not like stealing. So therefore, they reject that option. Elamra papa lo nitzricha ela lepacho mishave pruta. It's if he steals less than the value of a pruta. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to question this. Ihachi kuti b'Yisrael asur ha bar mechilahu. Right? Why would a kuti that stole? Okay, there's an interesting assumption of this Gemara. Why is a shave pruta somebody not obligated when you steal a shave pruta? The assumption is, if you steal a shave pruta from a Jew from a fellow Jew, that the fellow Jew is going to say, it's not worth my while. I'm mochel you, what you stole. That little amount is just not worth my while. But the assumption is that a kuti is not going to be mochel. Okay? A kuti isn't mochel. He's makbid on everything. Again, there's all sorts of assumptions about non-Jewish people that they're making here, but the assumption is he's not makbid on anything. He's going to get anything. But what about a kuti who steals from a Yisrael? Don't you think the Yisrael are b'nei mechila? So they're going to be mochel on the kuti for the pachol b'shava pruta. So why should the kuti be chayav? So what do they say? Yikuti, right? Ha'chel kuti b'Yisrael asur ha'bar mechilu. So what do they answer? Nihi de batar hachi machile. Even though once he figures out, you know, there was only shava pruta, he'll be mochel. But sarah b'shata mi lately. But at that moment that he got robbed, but when you immediately get robbed, you feel horrible. You're very angry about it. Then when you realize that they only stole a little bit, she'll say, oh, I guess it's fine. But at that first moment, you have this sa'ara, and because of that, he's chayav. So then they say, kuti b'kuti kayotze behen, kelam deram ne'machila geza ma'al yehu. But if you're going to say that, then you have a separate problem. Kuti b'kuti, since they're not b'ne'machila, that's really geza. In which case, it's not kayotze behen. So therefore, they reject that option also. So again, we're still trying to figure out what's gezel kayotze ben. Ela amar Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika lo nitzricha ela lekovesh sachar sachir. It's someone who doesn't pay his worker. Okay, that's a little different than stealing because you're not taking from the person; you're just not giving them something. So kuti b'kuti b'kuti b'Yisrael asur, b'Yisrael b'kuti mutar. They're going to say, in that case, Yisrael Bakuti is mutar. Okay? And the main reason is because it's not gezel b'yadayim. It's passive gezela. So there, we're going to say that Yisrael is mutar, but akuti bakuti, and it's like gezel, but it's a little different because it's not gezel b'yadayim. Kayotze b'yifat toar mahi. So remember, it's a gezel and yifat toar, and then kayotze b'hem. So what's the kayotze b'hem when it comes to that? Ki ata Rav Dimi, amar Rabbi Elazar, amar Rabbi Chanina, ben noach shiyiched shifcha la'avdo, uba aleha neherag aleha. Okay? So now, what's the case? He has a shifcha that he designated for his evik. Generally, people had their avadim marry shifchot. Where do we know this? Also in the non-Jewish world, from the kina of the son and the daughter of Rabbi Ishmael Kohen Gadol. Remember, in the bo nizav game, we'll put them together, they'll marry each other in that horrible kina. So, and they'll have, right, so the shifcha and the evet, they always used to marry off. It would be a good way to have them have children. That's, again, not really married, but designate them to reproduce. So, if he designated it for his evet, and then he slept with her himself, that would be, he would be neheragala. That's like Yifat Torah. Kayotze bo de shvichut amim, lo tanya. Okay, but there is no kayotze bo by shvichut amim. In other words, either you kill someone, there's no like killing someone. Amar Abaye, imish kachat, I actually could find a case that's like killing. What's the case that's like killing? Again, you have to find a case that's similar to it, where, again, a non-Jew is going to be obligated, and the Jew will not be obligated. So what's going to be that case? Detanya, Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaulhi. Detanya, we saw this the other day, Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul Omer, Rodef achar chavero lehorgo, v'yachol lahatzilo be'echa me'evara, v'lo hitzil, neherag alav. Right? So that's a kayotze bo by shvichut amim. Because if you're, according to this, so what this halach of Yonatan ben Shaul is about a Jew. If a Jew is chasing a Jew, and the Jew who's being chased could shoot the guy in the leg, right, the rodef, and instead he kills him, so he's neheragalav. But the assumption is that a Jew to a kuti wouldn't be neheragalav. So again, we're trying to find a case where a Jew to a kuti is allowed, but a kuti to a kuti and a kuti to a Yisrael would not be. He would get killed for this. So this is like shvichut amim, because he wasn't really planning to murder the person. It was really in self-defense, but he should have done it in a better way. And on that, he's going to get killed. But a Yisrael who does this to a kuti will not get killed. Again, it's forbidden, but he won't get killed for it. Okay, so we've said a bunch of differences. I'll already say the differences. Okay, so we have, I'm hoping I'm not missing, but I made a list. Azhara, zohi mitatan, right? According to one opinion, we said that if you warn them, that's already like killing them, meaning they don't need both an azhara and an onesh. Again, this is just in the Torah. It doesn't mean when you speak to him, right? We'll get to that about edim and hatra. He doesn't need that either. We saw that. We saw that yesterday already. Eda, right? Edim and hatra. Those are three things. The court of 23, right? Not for ben noach. And the edim, two witnesses. It's enough, just one witness. We'll see this inside again today. And hatra'ah, they don't need to be warned before. Okay, those are three ways that it's much easier, basically, to kill a non-Jew in a Jewish court than it is a Jew. Then we had, he gets sayif for everything, right? We'll see that there's another opinion about, there's a few other opinions about this, but that's what we saw until now. Again, he's chayav. If he kills, steals, kovesh sachar sachir, kills the rodev, all those things, a kuti b'Yisrael is going to be chayav, and Yisrael b'kuti is not going to be chayav, right? We saw those. And Pachobi Shavu Pruta also. Okay. So now. Eshkach Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Davakati B'Sefer Agadat HaDebei Rav. He found that it was written in the Sefer Agadat from the house of Rav. Ben Noach Neherag B'Dayan Echad. Okay, here we see. He even needs just one judge, not three judges. This is adding to that list of things, right? One judge, not three, not 23, really. Right? It's one instead of 23. U'be'ed Echad. Shelo v'hatra'a, these are the three we talked about before. Mipi ish v'lo mipisha, interesting that halacha is the same, okay? You still don't accept testimony of a woman. Va'filu karov, but you would accept testimony of a relative. Okay, where do we get this from? We'll see in a minute. First we see another opinion. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel amru af ala ubarim. You're also, okay, if you remember, there's the famous case where they kill a pregnant woman and her vlader, right? And they pay a fine for the child, for the ubar, but they don't actually get killed for killing the ubar. So the ben noach is going to be killed even for killing an ubar, okay, an embryo. Minane mile, where do they learn this from? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Damakra, ach et damchem lenafshotechem edrosh. Okay, this is in Breishit Tet there, in that same context we keep seeing. Okay, the pasuk is like this, and we're going to darshan all parts of it. Va'achetimchem lenafshotechem edrosh. Edrosh is singular. God is saying in singular, therefore, the dayan can be a singular dayan. Afilu b'dayan echad. Miyad kol chaya edreshenu. Okay, here they're going to darshan the pasuk a little differently. They're going to say miyad kol chaya, meaning afilu shelo b'hatra'a. Okay, you can't warn an animal, so they're saying, right, therefore, even without warning. Now they darshan, instead of miyad kol chaya edreshenu, umiyad ha'adam, they say miyad kol chaya edreshenu umiyad ha'adam. Okay, so they darshan, that is one term. Afilu be'ed echad, in other words, adreshenu miyad ha'adam. Ha'adam here is referring not to the person who's getting convicted, but the person who's convicting, the aid. So the witness can be just an adam, a singular. Afil miyad ish velo miyad isha. Okay, because then it says, miyad ha'adam, miyad ish, achiv, it says. So miyad ish means ish velo isha. Achiv, afilu karov, right? Here they understand achiv is literally your brother. Okay, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Apalu Barim. So where does he get this from? My time at Rabbi Shmuel. Detektiv Shofech Dam HaAdam BeAdam Damo Yishafech. Ezu Adam Shehu BeAdam. Right, everybody got that right, right, right. What's Adam? That's Betoch Adam. Right, BeAdam is if it's if Betoch Adam. Heve Omer Zeu Bar Shebemei Imo. V'Tanakama Tana Debeir Up, and Tanakama is Tana Debe Menashehu. Okay, the first opinion we see here is the Tana de Menashe, Da'amar, Kol Mita Hamura Lebnei Noach, Eina Ela Chenek. Okay, now we're going to see another of this Tana de Menashe about a Ben Noach. One second. Right, the question is, why doesn't the Tana Kama understand that Dam HaAdam, Adam be Adam is Ananu Bar, because he holds like the Tana de Be'er Rabbi Yishmael, he holds like the Tana de Be'er Menashe, who says the Komita Amurah Levnei Noach Ena Elachenek, and how do they get that? V'shade Lehai be Adam Aseifa Dekra. They, in order to get that, they all get Chenek. Okay, I told you we're going to see a different opinion here. Okay, so we now have two opinions. Is it only b'sayif, or do they get everything b'chenek? And where do they get it from? B'darish b'hachi. B'adam damo yishafech. It's not dam ha'adam b'adam, but it's b'adam damo yishafech, meaning that when you kill him, the blood will be spilled inside him. Now, if you kill b'sayif, what happens? The blood comes spurting out of his body. If you slice his, you behead him. But if you strangle him, then all the blood stays in his body.
Why couldn't they just say that it was based on the two different opinions? One said Herod was worse than Hannah.
So we don't know, according to this, it's interesting, whether we want to give them the least or the more. We don't know. It's not clear here. There's no, it depends if you would, it's unclear. Not so clear you would necessarily give them the least.
Isn't there a general rule that whatever B'nai Israel is treated harsher and we're held to a higher standard, that whatever punishment the Goyim get will be less than what we get?
So not necessarily. This is exactly what this sug is dealing with. That's why I wanted to highlight all the differences. In other words, how do we highlight differences? First of all, it's much easier to persecute them in court because you don't need two witnesses. It's much simpler. And we're going to kind of ask this question soon in a different direction where they're going to say, we'll see. But it's definitely something that's underlying this whole sugya is who do we treat more harshly? And also, if you notice, a lot of the differences are not a Yisrael to a Yisrael. It's a Yisrael if it does it to a non-Jew. Right, that part of the differences are that. But with the mitah, it's not so clear whether they want a less harsh or a more harsh. Matav Rav Amnuna, v'isha lo mifkida, a woman can't do judgment, and that she can't be a witness. Why can't a woman be a witness? V'haktiv, didn't we learn a lot of the stuff about the dinim, about the Bnei Noach? If you remember, we used this pasuk. From Avram, what did it say? Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaveh v'chulei. You have to read the rest of the pasuk to understand. Et banav ve'ed beito acharav. And then it said, v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. Which means, he commanded man and his household, meaning also his wife, meaning, and his children, including his female children. So shouldn't women be part of this whole thing of the din? So who motiv labu mafarkla? He asks the question and he answers it now. Banav ledin beito litzdaka. Now there's many different interpretations of what this means. Banav, the men should be the judges and the witnesses, and the women should do the tzedakah. Now, whether tzedakah literally here means the women give charity, and that's, you know, the role of the women. I don't actually think that's what it means. I think it means something more like the women are in charge of keeping righteousness, you know, making sure things in the world are, you know, almost you might say like behind the scenes, like they're the judgment and the women are making sure there's tzedek around, but they can't take an official role of being an aide. Again, I don't exactly know how to translate this. It's somewhat difficult. Amar le Rav Avya Sava le Rav Papa. Emat bat Noach shenehargha lo tehareg. Ema, I said it wrong, that's why. Ema, we should say, bat Noach shehargha lo tehareg. Why? And that's, maybe we should suggest then that a female bat Noach shouldn't get killed. Because what does it say? Miyad ish. Right? From the hands of a man. Sounding like the ish here, right before we said it was referring to the witness. But now we're saying maybe it's referring to the person who kills. Velo miyad ish aktiv. Amar le hachi amar av Yehuda. Shofech dam ha'adam mikol makom. Okay, right? Adam is a term that's used both for men and women, and therefore it's a gender-neutral word. Okay, right? Interesting. The Gemara is already talking about gender neutrality. Even though I wouldn't say they were so forward-thinking about this stuff. Ema bat noach shezinta lo tehareg. Maybe you should say, and this is a very interesting thing, that a bat noach, the didznut, shouldn't get killed. Why? Dichtiv. Okay, this is the famous pasuk in Bereishit when it's describing the creation of woman taken from the rib of man. At the end of that ketzet, has a very pasuk always fascinated me. Al ken yazov ish et aviv et imo v'davak v'ishto v'ayu l'basar achad. Okay, why is that so interesting? First of all, it's one of those psukim that sort of comes to explain something that happens. I always compare it to Sharat HaMashpacha, and I always teach that line because it's, you know, the difference in creation between in the first parak, the second parak. And this, on the one hand, it sounds like a very sexist line. You know, it's all about the man. And generally, if I teach people who are open-minded, yeah, they don't like this pasuk. But when I explain it to them after, I say, ignore the part that it's written to the masculine, right? But look at what it's talking about. And I say it's like those things like, why is the sun yellow? It's trying to get, right? Why do people get married and leave their household, right? Leave their parents and they create a union. So what does it say here? And here, I never know this, but the Gemara says it explicitly that this pasuk should be read both ways. And it's worded in the masculine, so that's what the Gemara first says. Alken yazov ish v'lo isha, meaning that all ishut is like created for the man, which means that if the woman is mazneh from the bnei noach, again, later, okay, but for the ben noach, maybe she shouldn't. So I'm like, hachi amar Rav Yehuda, v'ayu l'basar achad, hadar arvin hukra. The pasuk eventually connects them, right? In other words, it links them, in which case she's just as equally responsible as he is. In other words, it's basically saying that it was written toward the man, but it's really obviously relating to both. And it's the same thing, by the way, with the arayot. We didn't really discuss this. I wanted to mention it when we were talking about all the pasukim, but all the arayot are mentioned in the masculine. A person can sleep with his, you know, actually, someone said it to me after, which is, when it says Ervat Avicha, we had this whole debate about Ervat Avicha, is it homosexual relations or is it sleeping with your father's wife? So someone said, why couldn't you just say Ervat Avicha is a girl sleeping with her father? Mm. Right? But that's because the clear answer is because none of the psukim are relating to the female. It's all worded in the male. Everything. But it doesn't mean, right, if a father can't sleep with his daughter, according to the pasuk, so then obviously the daughter can't sleep with the father. And that's what they're saying here, that it all goes around. It's just the way of the Torah in those days, you know, everything was said in the masculine. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't refer back to the feminine also. And here the Gemara says it really explicitly. Okay. Go on and drop more and then we'll end. Tana Rabbanan Ish. Ma tamalomer ish ish. I told you we get to this pasuk about the ish ish by avodah kochavim. Okay, so this, this is by avodah zarah. I'm sorry, I keep saying the wrong one. This is by giloy arayot, the ish ish. Ish ish al kol she'er b'saro lo tekravu legalot ervani Hashem. Okay, this is right. No one can get to any of their relatives. So ish ish, again, lerabot takutim shemusarim ala arayot ki Yisrael. They say, what do you mean? Baha mehacha nafka? Mehatam nafka. Why are you learning it from there? You should learn it from here. Remember? How did the first pasuk? Remember that was the weird drashan by Yitzav Hashem Elokim et ha'adam lemor. Lemor is giloy arayot. So why don't you learn it from there? So now they say, hatam barayot ditu V'hacha barayot idan. Okay? That's in their arayot, and this is in our arayot. Okay? What's their arayot? Their arayot means if they do, they have relations with a fellow non-Jew. And barayot idan is if they have relations with a Jew. There's a difference. Okay? So we need two psukim. Dekatane Seifa, as we know in the Seifa, it says, Baal Arayot Yisrael Nidon B'dinei Yisrael. Okay, we'll end here for today, and tomorrow we'll pick up with what this means. But there's a difference between a non-Jew who sleeps with one of the Erva, who's a fellow non-Jew, and that we learn from one of the Pesukim. And from the other Pesuk, we're going to learn a non-Jew who has relations with an Erva that's a Jew. And there, that's the ones that are done with non-Jews are bedinehen. And the ones that are done with Jews are bedinenu. And tomorrow we're going to figure out what is dinehen, what is dinenu, what are the differences. And again, we're going to get to some of the differences between non-Jews, you know, the b'nei mitzvah, the b'nei noach, and what we're obligated for.